Thank you, Brother Ray, and the saints of Edmund Lane. It's good to be in fellowship with you, even though we are not in each other's presence physically. We are before the Lord. The Lord accurately and purposely decided that we would get together in this dynamic, even during these times on earth that is spread with pandemic. It's all worldwide. We are yet given the privilege to know him and to see him in the workings of his believers and us fellowshipping around the word. I really enjoyed the time along the word during communion, and I really was blessed by each one of the brothers that shared. I hate to say this, but I'll be stealing some of that when I go to share at other places. Thank you for praying for me during my time of convalescence and while I was in the hospital. By God's grace, I'm doing much better. I was planning to see you all this weekend, but maybe in a future day I will be able to. For our Bible study today, we're going to look at the seven steps of the righteous, the seven steps of the righteous. And we find that in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 14. So if you could get to that, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to look at practically the whole chapter and see God's grace and what he has planned for us during this study. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2. And we'll start there, and let's make our prayer, and then we'll look into our study. Father, we thank you so much for your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. We thank you for the fellowship of the saints. While we may not be with each other physically, we are with each other in spirit, and your presence makes us whole and makes us one. Now, by your word, Father, we unite our hearts to get what you want us to receive from your word and be blessed by it in every purpose that you've intended. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the grooves and cut down the groves. We notice, first of all, that is required of every Christian who demands or wants to live God's way. The first thing that has to happen is their perspective must change. Their perspective has got to change. There's got to be a difference in lifestyle. And that difference in lifestyle is categorized in this passage of scripture by, first of all, in verse number 2, it says, Asa did that was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. First of all, we must do what is right, not which is what is civilly right, not which is morally right, but that which is spiritually right. Mankind will never completely get the total picture. He cannot of himself, by himself, amongst himself, come up with the right plan for his own life. It takes the word of God, it takes the spirit of God to share what man should be. In every situation, doing what's right is what God ordains. And that's why, saints, we raise our kids according to the word, not according to popular opinion. The next thing the Bible tells us is that he did away with religion. It says, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and he break down the images and cut down the groves. Each one of the children of Israel was susceptible to being influenced by their neighbors, by people around them, by other kingdoms, other countries, and they were trying to incorporate them in their worship. Listen, no matter what you hear, no matter what the popular worldly saying is, stick with the word of God. He did away with religion. He took everything out of their eyesight, out of their fellowship that was different from the word of God. Stick with the word of God. I don't care what television says. I don't care what man says. I don't care what the popular opinion is. Stick with the word of God. Religion is anything that shackles you, that obligates you to worship other than the true God, which is Jesus Christ. They did away with religion. And then looked at the next verse, verse number 5. Verse number 4. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Not only did he do what was right, and not only did he do away with religion, he also demanded a relationship. he demanded that Israel seek the Lord God of their fathers. That is highly, highly important. Your kids have got to be taught that religion is not what you do, you have a relationship. Your kids need to see for themselves why you do that. The question was asked over and over again during the pilgrimage of Israel. And the father will ask the son, why do we do these things? Why do we keep these practices? Why did we leave Egypt? And each situation, every time, the answer was displayed in so many examples with one answer, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. When we were in trouble, the Lord. Why do we do these things? The Lord. It is important that we change the perspective of our homes and of our communities, of our churches, so we always remember the Lord. Then look at verse number 5. Not only did they change their perspective, God gave them peace. For it says, for he also took away all out of all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and there was no war in those years, because the Lord their God had given them rest. God gives his peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not the peace as the world gives you, but my peace give I unto you. We should have God's peace, doing things God's way. In every situation, in every opportunity in the world, God gives his peace for following his word. The word peace in the Greek is the word irene. It does not mean the absence of conflict, just something different. Irene means eye of the storm. Things may be going crazy all around you. There may be a whirlwind of tempest around you, but if you're in the eye of the storm, you're in the safest place there to be. And that's where the children of God is. The world is going crazy around us, but in the midst of it all, God has given his people peace, peace, peace. I went to speak at a high school one time. I had a whole assembly. Before, when I first started ministry, they said, no, you can't talk about Jesus Christ or religion or God or anything like that. Then I came and went again 10 years later. They said, please do anything. Talk to these kids. Get their minds saturated with what's right, what they should know. And I walked into the high school, and I stopped the first young lady I saw, and I said, I'm the speaker for today. There's going to be an assembly of all the school. The whole school's going to empty out. What do you want me to talk on? And she said, sir, I don't know what you're going to talk on. I don't know what to tell you. But please, can I hear from somebody how that I might have peace? How that I might have peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the only means by which we can receive peace. Jesus is what the world is looking for. God gives peace. He gives his rest, his reward for us doing right, and his respect of our deeds when we follow his word, when he give him the glory. Not only that, look at the next thing. In verse number 7, it says this, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side, so they built and prosper. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin, there were bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. They prepared. When they had received the peace of the Lord, they prepared. They got ready in the land of Israel that God had given them, because they didn't know. They did not know what things were ahead. God wants us to prepare his work. And notice how he does threefold. First of all, God's work to build the cities. They built the outside, the cities all around them. They fortified them and made them righteous before God. And then the Bible says, and they built the walls. And then they built the interior, so they were strong and prepared for onslaught of the enemy. And then the next thing, they built themselves. They armed themselves. They got all the armies together so that they could protect themselves. God had given them peace, and therefore it was their job to prepare. You might look at our situation around the world today. We're in a pandemic all over the world. I was talking to my son in Bermuda a couple of days ago. even in a remote island like Bermuda, they have the coronavirus, and people are infected. People are infected all over the world. I think this is biblical. God is giving man another chance, warning him that judgment is someday coming. What should we do as the body of Christ? We should prepare. We should prepare to minister to people the love of God, the word of God, in special ways, but also the church is being attacked. You may not feel it, but around the world, the church of Jesus Christ, the cause of Jesus Christ, is being attacked. We should fortify ourselves. Young men should get themselves in the word and learn the word. Young people should stand up for Jesus Christ, and that being educated and knowing God's word and knowing the world's perspective, they should have a perspective to answer back. That's what apologetics means, to give an answer back. We should be able to tell people, what is the God's perspective in this? What is the body of Christ's perspective in this? That's why we prepare. Get ready, because God wants us to minister to the world in these troubled times. Because when you prepare, you are admitting one thing. Look at the next thing, verse number 9, problems. And there came out of against them Zora the Ethiopian, who with a host of 1,000,000, that's 1,000,000 people, and 300 chariots, and came unto Mereshah. Then Asa went out against him, and he set the battle in array in the valley of Zarephath in Mereshah. Problems come. Who knows? At one time, 1,000,000 people, the 1,000,000 aspects of Satan's kingdom might come against us. Are we to fall down and just just to cower before our enemy? Are we supposed to throw our hands up and say, what's the problem here? What's going on? No, not at all. We're supposed to honor him. We're supposed to lift him up and always have an answer. We're supposed to be ready. We might be outnumbered, we may be outgunned, and we may be outflanked. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God has given his people all the tools that are necessary to win the warfare. Our adversary, the devil, is strong and he's mighty, and he's prepared day and night to fight us. Guess what? God has given us day or night the opportunity and the equipment we need to defeat him. The battleground is your mind. The Bible tells us that the battleground is the mind. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The battleground is the mind. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The mind, the imaginations, and the thoughts are in the mind. The battleground is the mind. That's the first place that we need to fortify. Then the next thing, our battle gear. We've been given by the Holy Spirit the armor of God. I was so blessed by the word of God that was shared from the book of Ephesians by the brothers this morning. And then I thought about the passage. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rules of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. We have been given battle gear that is divinely suited, divinely prepared for our battle against the wicked one. And then finally, our battle goal. The battle is the Lord's. Victory. Victory. I don't know if you know it or not, but from the book of Revelation all the way to the book of Genesis, we are found to be victors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. So we may have an enemy that's strong and that's mighty. We might have an enemy that is relentless, that won't give up, but we have the power also of God, and we cannot lose if we trust in him. Notice the next thing. When the problems came, what did Asa do? We'll look at verse number 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help them, help whether with many or them that have no power. Help us, O God, Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Pray, 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 pray. Your first recourse in every situation should be to pray. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 109, verses 1 through 4. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, out of the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. I pray that will be your testimony, that no matter what onslaught, no matter how the enemy comes against you, you resort to pray. Pray always the word, and pray always the word correctly. These are the three things that we should do. Always pray, always pray. The Bible tells in Psalm 91, verse 8, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Trust the Lord, trust the Lord, trust the Lord, trust the Lord. You are not great enough to win the fight against the enemy. You have to rely on the Lord, his word, the Spirit of God, to fight your battles. I'm telling you, saint, there is victory in Jesus. Absolutely, there's victory in Jesus. It is found in speaking to him and trusting in his strength and great power. And the Bible tells us that was the next point, that when Asa prayed, look at the next phrase in verse number 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. It is the power of God that wins our victory. Not who we are, just that. Not because we did our best, but because God is powerful. He is mighty to do everything we need to defeat the enemy. Don't trust in your own ability. Don't trust, as the New Testament talks about, in winning the fight against your Satan, against Satan yourself, as did the exorcist. But instead, trust in the God that loves you. God loves you and is always looking out for your best behalf. Listen, when God's power is available to us, the battle is the Lord's, the blessing is ours, and the benefit is his glory. If we give God the glory, he'll give us the blessing. Constantly find a way, a beeline, to give God the glory. Find out as soon as you possible, you give God the glory. Glorify him and praise him. That's one thing I really respect the Apostle Paul for. Every single book that he wrote, he talked about blessing the Lord, blessing the Lord, blessing the Lord. That is highly important. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. He believed in the blessing of the Lord. And then finally, something else happened. Verse 13 and 14. The Bible says they smote all the cities round about Gerar, and the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of the cattle and carried them away, sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. When God shows his power, he blesses us. Prosperity. He sends his prosperity. When the world has exhausted its resources, when the world has nowhere else to go, God blesses his people. God always takes care of his people. Saints of God, there is an option that you have. You can do things your way. You can do things the world's way. You can do what's popular, what the world thinks you should do, or you can do things through time and eternity will always work God's way. Be willing to take God's word to heart, and you'll see his wonderful power displayed on your behalf. Pray, trust him, so rely on his word and his spirit in every situation of your life. Don't let things happen to you and without talking to God about it. The first thing that you should always do in every situation, good or bad, is praise Him and pray. These perspectives are things that will bring your life into focus. Talk to God about each one of these problems. Have corporate prayer. Remember what God is all about. Don't let God have your life. Don't let Him have your family. Don't let Him have your friends. Don't let Him have your world. Satan is trying to destroy all of these things. Give your heart and mind to the Lord Jesus Christ. When things look bad, trust in Him. When things look good, trust in Him. No matter what the situation is, trust Him completely. Let's pray. We thank You, great God, for Your power and Your great mercy toward us, Your great love toward us, Your great favor toward us, oh Lord. We pray, God, by Your Spirit, that You would find a way to help us in troubling times, that You will meet the need of Your people as they trust in You. Oh God, I pray that in this time of worldly crisis, Your name will be uplifted. The saints would be more determined to share Your word, that the word would hear, the world would hear that there is a God that loves them and has an answer to this problem. May Your name be glorified in all that we do. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.